This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Turn to Bethel City Council Chambers, where a community discussion is happening on heroin and opioid addiction. Local law enforcement, as well as the FBI and DEA and local health officials are all there to engage with the community, to answer questions, to talk about the epidemic that's going on nationally, locally, regionally with heroin and opioid and what we can do to solve it.
That video, though, is the situation we're dealing with right here in Alaska. And know that the statistics on the overdose death rates in those in the video, well, I'm really sorry to say that what we're dealing with here in Alaska is more than double the national average, for example, for opioid pain reliever overdose death rates. And the OD death rate for heroin-associated deaths in the state of Alaska is over 50% higher than the national average. I can tell you, based on my caseload alone, I'm one-line prosecutor. I have seen heroin or opioids touch nearly or vast majority of the cases that have come across just my desk. And I can tell you also that often cases reach a point where we can indict somebody or charge someone federally, and we have the opportunity to sit down with them and their lawyer and learn more about, among other things, obviously the broader scope of whatever federal offense they had committed, but it also gives us an opportunity to ask the why. Because I have yet to meet anybody in my 8 years of doing this job that set out to become a heroin addict. I just never heard that. But so often, regardless of what crime we present to the grand jury, whether it's actually a drug crime or it's actually a white-collar offense, the why, what was it that drove you to commit that federal offense? Oftentimes, the why comes back to addiction. And that's why the Department of Justice absolutely sees this as a public safety issue. And it is a public safety issue. By some accounts, over 80% of all crime has some connection to addiction. So that's why we're here today, to try to get this message out loud and clear that this is a problem that cuts across regions and states, and even within Alaska, all walks of life, all different kinds of family situations. And so we're trying to get information out so all of us as Alaskans can be informed. And when we notice a family member or a colleague or anybody else in our lives who seems to be struggling, to speak up and say something. And hopefully through forums like this one tonight, this is the start of a conversation. You know, we may have to head back to Anchorage tonight, but we hope this is the start of a conversation or a continuation of a conversation right here in Bethel that lives on long after this evening. So thank you for having us. Thank you for coming out in such numbers tonight. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Ritzman.
Again, my name is Marlon Ritzman. I'm with the FBI based out of Anchorage. And the one of the reasons that the FBI and the DEA collaborated on this is to just repeat a couple of things that Andrea said, but they're very important things, that this is not a problem that is just isolated here and to some of the communities here in Alaska. I mean, this is a nationwide epidemic, and we're trying to get ahead of it. And unfortunately, a lot of times law enforcement is very reactive. We're trying to be proactive. We've made the statement before, we've made the comments before, that we're not going to be able to arrest our way out of this problem. We've got to get the communities involved. And this is our way to let everyone know that this is not an isolated problem, whether you're a community on the East Coast in New York City, you're in a small farming community in Iowa, you're here in Western Alaska, everybody's seeing this problem. So with the forums like this, we're trying to let everybody know that it's just not law enforcement, but it's going to take a collaborative effort between federal, state, local, social services, schools, communities. Everybody's going to have to work together to get ahead of this problem. With that, I'll go ahead and allow Jerry from the highway, or I'm sorry, state troopers. One thing I've only been here a couple of months, but the one thing I've learned is it's not highway patrol, it's the state troopers.
That's correct. Well, yeah, no doubt, it's Jerry Van Allen. I've been with the troopers for 16 years. The last 12, I've been an investigator with a statewide drug enforcement unit. And the only cases I take now are just alcohol and drugs. 7 or 8 years ago, majority of my cases were Oxycontin, cocaine cases. And then something happened. Some people got arrested, and the design of that Oxycontin pill was changed. They changed it to where it was a time-release capsule. That way, they believed that the users wouldn't be able to abuse the pill. They couldn't just crush it and then inject it. These were time-release capsules. They can't just time-release in your blood. They have to gradually produce the painkiller. And that's when they turned to heroin. And 5 years later, it's just, this is where we're at right now. Just to speak a little bit of experience of what I've seen in the past year, I've heard of a drug called fentanyl coming. They saw it here in Alaska a couple of times before we saw it here this past summer. And back last spring, I told my partner, hey, we have this evil thing coming. I'm afraid how it's going to hit us. And I told him, it's just a matter of when, how. And unfortunately for us, my partner and I investigated the overdose death in Quinnahock last month. Our fear came true. I mean, fentanyl is here. It was laced in heroin. According to the lab reports, it was 3 times more potent than the heroin itself. And it was just a little teeny-weeny bit that they used off of. I say we're pretty lucky that we didn't have 5 deaths that one day. I don't know how it happened. It's unfortunate that they continued to use it after, even though after they knew that a couple of people OD'd on the substance they bought from the same person. I mean, they were injecting or smoking the same thing that their friends had OD'd on. And that's how addictive it is. And hopefully with community support, we can get together and maybe try and figure out what the problem is and how to solve it. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Michael Stamper, pharmacist here at the YKHC Hospital for the past 6 years. So I'm directly involved in working with the providers and helping to manage legitimate pain for patients who need these medications. We do understand that the chemical component of these is very similar to heroin. Essentially the same thing. So we know it's dangerous, and we have a collaborative team that we work with the providers and the pharmacists and the nurses and behavioral health to make sure that these patients are being managed appropriately, the dose is appropriate, and we are weaning the patients off and stopping as soon as possible so that we are managing the pain but not promoting any type of addiction. It's a fine balance that we have to maintain to make sure that we are using these medications appropriately. Something that we all work together on. One thing I'd like to say is that it can affect anyone. I've seen in the medical profession, providers, nurses, pharmacists are at risk of becoming addicted to this as well. In pharmacy school, we had guest lecturers come in, present, and they
were a nurse and the husband was a physical therapist. He took hydrocodone for an old football injury and immediately was hooked. And it led down the road of trying to get all his provider friends to write for him, onto stealing prescription pads, to stealing the medications. And so anyone can end up addicted to these medications and down this type of road that we saw in the video. So we are here to help, and any kind of information that we can get from the community regarding patients that may not be using these medications appropriately, we welcome that and would appreciate if you guys would let us know so we can do our best to appropriately manage the patients.
Again, my name is Terry Forst. I'm a licensed professional counselor at the Bethel Family Clinic. My purpose here today is, for one, to tell you that each of those stories that you saw in that movie are true. They've sat in my office on my couch and told me stories exactly like that, the people that we know and love. So even though we're a small community and we're tight-knit, it doesn't mean that it's not happening here. So that's my first. It's natural as humans to have defense mechanisms and to be in denial or to think that it's maybe not as big as some of us are saying or as the FBI is saying or as other states are experiencing, but I can tell you I've heard every one of those stories from here in Bethel and surrounding villages. So I'm glad all of you are here today. The first thing I'll talk about is what I provide as a counselor. Is the first one is for people who are wanting to get better if they're addicted or if they're beginning to use substances and want to prevent addiction, is I will provide assessments, determine a level of care that is appropriate for that person, and then find a treatment placement for them that is appropriate to help them get better, okay? When they return, once they've completed, I will provide those types of things. And then there's the other 93% of people who are addicted who don't think they need help, and I am here to help their families as well. So intervention type services or just helping families learn boundaries or how they can keep themselves safe and keep their families safe while someone is suffering from addiction. So that's my place. Thank you.
My name is Amy. I work for the Bethel Police Department. I've worked for them for 6 years now, and I've seen the problem with heroin grow just in the little amount of time that I've been with the police department. I think education is key, and the community coming together like this is a starting point, because the problem is here. It's real. We see it every single day and almost every call we go to. In one way, shape, or form, we see a drug abuse or even alcohol abuse. So it is real. This is the first step. So thank you guys for being here.
I'd also like to introduce Jerry and Rose Dominic, who have graciously agreed to share a bit about their experience with this issue. There's a microphone at the podium there.
Hi, my name is Rose Dominic, and as afraid and ashamed as I am, I have come to try and help our community as a family member of someone who has an addiction. So I really experienced so much emotion watching the video. And thought about how much anger and hurt and shame and all of that I still have to process. And I was glad to be able to sit there and watch that, because all of that is taking place. And everything that they have to say is so true. It's a really, really difficult place to be in. And part of what prolonged that was keeping all of this a secret. And that's the worst thing we can do, all of us, is to keep this a secret. It dwells on being hidden. So, and we really had to go out and seek help. So we got our own counselors. And part of the process in dealing with this most effectively is for our family to come together, because this was really tearing us apart. It was just tearing us apart, and it was oftentimes easier to go and follow that path, and constantly reminding ourselves that this family member is not a bad person. I knew this person to be a wonderful person, and I had to constantly remind myself that it's the addiction, it's the behavior that's causing so much hurt, so much pain, grief, anger, all of this. So lots and lots of work with the counselor, with the programs that I'm involved in to separate the behavior and focus on the person that is loved. And that's something I'm grateful that we have. So if anybody has any questions about how it affected us, what kinds of things we do, we're available. So thank you, and thank you for coming, and thank you for talking with me.
Thank you.
And I would like to take some time to make my own statement on what the situation is in this area and about this movie as well. When people are, I've been working with these addicts since maybe a year and a half, a year before I started running for city council, seeing my friends addicted to it. And when they say in the movie that's all they care about, it really is all they care about. And what I've learned in my opiate task force meetings is that opiates affect a certain part of your brain that deals with reasoning. It actually destroys that part, and it makes it a lot easier for them to do the wrong thing and make it think it's right. And so I would like to say stuff that I think we need for this area. Law enforcement side, I think there's only a few points of entry into Bethel. Number one thing I think we need is a drug dog for either the WANT team or Bethel PD. Also, on the law enforcement side too, we need the public to inform the officers. A lot of these addicts and dealers are family members, and it's very hard for them to say anything to law enforcement because of that, and that's what's causing this all to grow and stay hidden. We just need to take a stand against this and know that eventually our families and brothers and sisters will be a lot better. And also with the majority of people who are addicted to heroin do start on prescription painkillers. And one of the things I've really been pushing for is better pain contracts, to where you're weaning them off painkillers toward the end of their term instead of cutting them off. Because that seems to be one of the main causes of buying opiates on the street. And just having you guys here is what I really want to say our needs are, so you guys could take that knowledge with you elsewhere. And that's one of the big things. And also, as we've seen, and I've witnessed this so many times, where somebody would go to jail for a year and be clean for a year, but as soon as they got out, a week later, they're back on opiates. And that's because they might have quit the drug physically, but mentally they haven't. I think we need more mental health care for addiction treatment. And also, I believe that we could figure out ways for what we're pushing for on the opiate task force is ways for Medicare to pay for treatment. A lot of people are unsure how they're going to pay for it, and they're scared to go ask for help from anybody. So we're trying to push for Medicare paid treatment. I know Terry's been pushing for, I think, cheaper treatment here, and I hope you guys could advertise that a lot more, because a lot of people ask me where they could get treatment here, and I think more advertisement would be better for them to know. The ultimate goal is to have a treatment facility here, and I hope that we could all push for that, because this is not only a problem in Bethel, it's a problem for all the villages surrounding Bethel. And prescription pain opiates are one of the biggest problems that we have in the surrounding villages. So, and there are also drugs that you could order online. I think that they should be changed to a different narcotic level to make it illegal, stuff like tramadol. That is probably the biggest thing in every single village that I've seen. It's people ordering that, and it's just as addictive as anything else I've seen. And it's, you're able to order it because it's not a certain schedule, a narcotic. And I think that we really need to change that. And that's one of the biggest things that we need to change. Let's limit to this about 5 minutes per person. I'm going to try to get as many people to come up and speak to have your voice heard.